How are you?
Oh, lots to talk about, lots to talk about.
Hi, welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast. I hope you're well. I'm Manish Verma. And if my game week is a tripping Trippier, then the sun dancing towards me, closer into the box, edging towards goal for an assist, an easy tap in, is my friend Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, how are you?
I'm all right, son. I'm all right. it was an interesting weekend to say the least, and I've possibly never seen anything like it. So, looking forward to getting stuck in.
Well, let's go straight into the points then. Let's go with you, because yours was particularly interesting, particularly fortunate. But go through your team then, Lumen.
So we'll start off with with Saturday's points. So Kelleher, I thought, you know, he'd get played this weekend, and I thought he'd be playing against United, because we were led to believe that Alisson wouldn't be ready in time, but Alisson was ready. Now, you know, am I annoyed? Not really, because if we're talking about real football, Alisson once again stepped up with an absolute world-class save. I mean, he is by far the best keeper in the league, in the world at the moment. I mean, he has his hairy moments, but... and the reason why I'm mentioning it is because it contributed towards going top of the table. So I wasn't too gutted. However, you know, I was holding my breath to for Areola to start the next day. So he didn't start, and I didn't get any points from my goalkeeper.
Blanked on.
So neither of my goalkeepers played. Then Saturday evening, Aston Villa beat Arsenal. Again, I'm not complaining, because it helped us get to the top. In these situations, you know, if Saliba doesn't get your points, fair enough, because they've conceded to lose. But I would have hoped Saka would get me more, but he didn't. So far, you know, we've got zero and then 4 points. And then the Korean guy, Hee Chan Hwang, you know, blanked at home.
You brought him in, didn't you? You brought him in for this game week.
I brought him in for Solanke, who decided to have a game. So there you go. I lost out 5 points there. Also in the Villa Arsenal game, I got 2 points. 2 points from Watkins. That one player that saved my bacon, and a lot of us, was Salah, getting a goal and assist. The thing about Salah is he's been hit and miss as a captain choice recently. A lot of people went for him as captain. But what I did this week was I captained Haaland, but this is where it gets interesting. I made it a point of removing the vice captaincy away from him, which is weird, because you don't really pay attention to the vice captaincy. But I thought, you know what, this guy's been such a letdown for me recently, I'll change the vice captaincy. So 21 points. And then we have the early games on Sunday, where it's West Ham playing Fulham. Fulham win 5-0. I've got Soufal and Bowen for West Ham. Areola doesn't play. Soufal gets me 0 because he's got minus points. And then we've got Bowen, who gets me 2 points. So we're on 23 points so far, if you're keeping tabs. So 23 points. Disaster of a weekend. Now, I think I've mentioned this to you every single weekend for the past few weeks, but for whatever reason, and it's freakish because they're not even in the Europa League, but for whatever reason, Spurs play last every week, whether it's Monday night football or on a Sunday. And what that means is, with your recent barnstorming form, I'm like praying. Basically, it's like Vegas, and my chips are in the middle of the table, and I'm relying on Son to do the business. Now, some weeks he doesn't do it, and you've spoken to him about being the ultimate feast or famine player. And yesterday, he decides to score a goal and get me 2 assists and 3 bonus points, which is brilliant in itself. But then Haaland, who did not play on Sunday, he was my captain. So Son becomes my vice-captain and he gets me 34 points. Semenyo also comes off the bench, gets me 1 point. So to summarize, right? And Lascelles got me a -1 as well because of the number of goals they conceded. To summarize, out of, even with the subs, 9 of my first team got 2 points or less. 2 got zeros, 1 got 1, and 1 got -1. And what, I've never had a weekend like this where 2 players just lifted me so much. Salah 13, Son 34. I mean, a crazy, crazy weekend.
This was a game week for vice captains, and but particularly for me and you, it was the game week of the 2 Korean guys, because whilst you vice captained the right one, I vice captained the wrong one. Every week I have a Haaland Salah captain vice captaincy. Every week. For some strange reason, I went brave, bold, maybe, but I thought it was a nothing thought, really. It was just like, I'll just stick it on Hwang at Wolves. At home, he's brilliant. And they drew 1-1. He'd neither scored nor assisted. And he did just brought me 4 points in total. Elsewhere, I had Salah also, who lifted my team up. I would have always vice-captained him. I don't know what went through my head, but anyway, so he would have given me an extra 13, but I didn't have him. Elsewhere, I had 2s, but I did slightly better in terms of an overall squad because I had points from Mikhailenko at the back, at Everton, who got 7 points, a clean sheet and bonus. I had Cunha at Wolves, who managed to kind of save my game week, who scored and then got bonus points too. I got 9 from him. And even off my bench, I got slightly lucky because I had Gordon coming off the bench and got 2. In a game week like this, 2 is better than a 0 or a -1 in some players got. So I ended up with a 48. And whilst it's bad, I'm off 9 points off you for this game week. I'm actually not too disappointed because having not had the right captain and still being up 48 points, like it could have been much, much worse for me. It could have been so bad for me. But yeah, I mean, the question is, how much attention do you actually pay to a vice captaincy? How much thought do you give it?
Oh, I give it thought every week, every single really? Week. Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, no one knew about Haaland. That came out of the blue. But it's always, you look at your team and you think, if I had to choose between my top 2 captaincy choices, and I don't look at the circumstances either, whether someone's going to play or not. I just do it based on that. The thing about Spurs is, they had 5 games without winning, but they were leading in every game. I've said this to you before. There was a Son game where he didn't get any points, but he scored 3 goals and they were all offside. The guy sees the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he got 2 assists and he got that late penalty, which was the cherry on top. So that was interesting. I think what the difference is between my team and your team in recent weeks is, your team is about form and my team is about class. And I know what you're thinking. Where are we going with this? You have had, like, the gift. The last few weeks, you've picked players bang in form. Mikhailenko and Cunha this week. I mean, Cunha is on a great run. He's on a great run of 5 games where he's returned. You identified that and you got him in. Same with Mikhailenko. You sniffed Mikhailenko, great form, and you've got him in. Whereas with me, I'm just relying on like fantasy football staples like Son with massive prices just to get me those points when I need to. So I think you know, your team is one that is trending in the right direction.
But I think the mix is the important part of a successful team, right? I need to take a few notes from you, and I kind of have with nicking Bowen, and you probably could take a few notes from me in identifying those players. Identifying those players is really tricky, though. You just never know, right? You just never know. But
It's not tricky. I just copy you. So, there you go. I'm getting Mikalenko's going in. Like, Mikalenko has to go in. He's just a no-brainer now. Flipping it.
Everton are doing well.
He's a points machine. He's a points machine. Jeez. 8, 11, 9, 1, 6, 6, 7. Jeez.
Well, the one that didn't work out for me transfer-wise was, in fact, both of our transfers didn't work out. You nicked mine in Hwang, I nicked yours in Bowen, and Bowen didn't deliver. And I was so surprised. He had two gilt-edged chances as well. And this season's Bowen puts them away. And I was like, how? Yeah. How? This is the transfer-in curse, that is.
I think you should be more disappointed with Hwang than Bowen. West Ham had a bug in their camp that's been reported, and the whole team's been ill recently.
So I didn't know this. Ornstein tweeted this morning, West Ham build-up to Fulham loss disrupted by sickness bug that swept through the camp after Thursday win at Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Now, if we take our minds back to 2006, Lumen, Spurs played West Ham on the last day of the season to... They needed one win, Spurs did, to confirm fourth spot over arch rivals Arsenal. They played West Ham. They were caught with a sickness bug, Lasagnagate. 10 players were struck down. So I'm thinking, is this Spurs exacting revenge this many years on? And can we just not trust London's lasagnas? That's my question.
Well, they've gone from dirty sheets to clean sheets. In every sense of the word. So,
God. Hope you're not eating anything, breakfast, lunch or dinner, when you listen to this. Oh, my goodness.
We're talking about sheets of lasagna here. Yeah, so I don't know. There you go. See? There you go.
Right. So, but we shouldn't take anything away from Fulham, because we've talked last week about how good their attack has been recently, how they've scored the same number of goals in their first 10 games in their last three, and they bagged another 5 goals. Is it time for Raul Jimenez to feature back in teams? He's only 5.2 million. He's showing that Wolves form. We know he had that nasty head injury. They've got Newcastle away next, but Burnley after that, Bournemouth after that, and in the form they're in, the goals they're banging, I don't know. I think as a differential, Raul Jimenez got to be on some people's radar.
I think the big thing, the interesting thing with Fulham is it's still a punt, in the sense that normally when you see a team do this well, there's always one player that's getting more points than the others. Here, the points are being spread. So if we're talking differential, it could be Willian. It could be Andres Pereira. Could be Raul Jimenez. It could be Harry Wilson.
Harry Wilson, I want to talk to you about. Yeah. What do you think of him? He was at Liverpool, right? I didn't know this. He was at Liverpool.
He was. He's one of those players who's a good player. He's a good professional. Not good enough for one of the top teams, but, you know, definitely a Premier League player. And I think Fulham, we're talking about top end of the pitch. If I was going to invest in Fulham, it would either be a defensive player or one of the midfielders as a differential. But Fulham are not the only team in form. I mean, Bournemouth, I mean, it sweeted me, you know, the way they did United. And I had a Bournemouth player, which I've already mentioned. You know, I had Solanke and I let him go. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was a bit hesitant to do that move.
I would have been.
I was a bit hesitant, but then, what completely like overtook my thinking was, if you can't beat them, join them. And I had to get in Hee Chan Hwang, like, because of you. Like, this is a deliberate tactic where there's a couple of players that, you know, I have to get in just because you got them in. If you do well, I do well. I think a few years ago, there was a heavyweight boxer called Shannon Briggs. Okay. And he really wanted to fight Vladimir Klitschko. And he did this thing where, I don't know how he managed to locate him, but everywhere he was in the world, whether it was, you know, in Europe or America, he was just following him. And he was doing videos. And he kept saying, wherever you go, I go, champ. Wherever you go. And that's you. For me, I'm not looking at the season as a whole. I'm looking at the last, I would say, 6 weeks to 2 months, where you are like so good. Like, you are so good. And I'm
Arsene Wenger in 1996, 97, 98 Arsene Wenger. My talent identification has been on point. Nevertheless, Lumen, you are still way ahead. Well, you've now like 20 plus points on me. So you can't be looking at me. You need to be looking further up.
I am looking at you. I'm looking at Mikalenko. I'm looking at Tsimikas. You know, I am looking at you.
Here's the thing though, Lumen. We were talking about Bournemouth. I probably would not have let Solanke go, because Bournemouth as a team are doing fantastically well. Like, a lot of the weekend was talking about how bad United were, and they were. I was listening to the Stick to Football podcast with Roy Keane, Carragher, Neville and Ian Wright, and they do a predictions thing. And all of them, barring Ian Wright, said they scoffed at the idea of Bournemouth getting a result there. Only Ian Wright said, no, I can see something happening. And Bournemouth's form has been superb recently. They've really turned it around.
It has, but Solanke's inconsistent, right?
Solanke's inconsistent, but there's only a few players at Bournemouth that you can really get, because Solanke, Semenyo up front, Tavernier in midfield, and potentially a defender, Marcos Senesi, has now got two double-digit hauls. I like their goalkeeper in terms of, even if he didn't get clean sheets, he's saving, because they concede a lot of chances. Bournemouth are a good team because there's only a few players that you can realistically pick from them. And their next fixtures, Lumen? Luton, Forest, Fulham.
Guess what? You're 100% right. This was the very definition of cutting my nose to spite my face. You know, Bournemouth could score 10 in the next game for all I care, right? As long as I've got Hwang and you've got Hwang, that's all I care about.
There's this very famous, it's my favourite comedy skit, stand-up comedy, is Cedric the Entertainer. This is back in the 90s, Def Comedy Jam. And I love it so much, but I can't say it in its entirety, because it's got way too many swear words, way too many racial slurs. But essentially, he says, black people, this is a black comedian, but black people never get mass murdered. There's never a massacre of black people. And you know why that is? Because black people run. And the crowd is like laughing, but also confused. Because right now, if one person starts running, one black person gets up out of the audience and starts running, everybody will start running. And I feel like that's your game week strategy. If I start running, you're going to start running. You don't need no run coordinator. You don't need to know what you're running from. If you run in, I'm running. And that's your game week strategy. Whereas white people, they need to know what they're running from. They go and ask questions. What are we running from over here? That's it. But I can't say it in its entirety, I'm afraid. But there you go.
Sorry. I do have Semenyo in as a Bournemouth player, so that's interesting. But Bournemouth and Fulham are on top. And so are Everton recently, which is why you've got Mikalenko in. And conversely, you know, Chelsea are not playing well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we called it last week. Chelsea have been, I think, they were horrible against Man United. And I go back to my Chelsea supporting brother-in-law who says, wait for this game week. We've got a ton of good fixtures. Everton was one of them. From Everton onwards now, Chelsea's fixtures look tasty. But Chelsea's form is so bad. The question I want to raise is, does form trump fixtures or not? Like, can you be bad but have good fixtures to come in up and think, oh, they're going to be good? Or just does form just outweigh that?
I think you can't ignore form. You just cannot ignore form. And also, the problem we have is there's too many inconsistent teams. Like, even the top teams, there's too much inconsistency. Arsenal are a good example. You know, flying high. Midweek, they needed a last-minute goal to beat Luton, and then they lose to Villa. You know, I bought Saliba in, banking on some clean sheets. They haven't kept a clean sheet in ages. You know, it's just very, very tricky to go on form at the moment because there's not that consistency. But on Everton, you know, it's a no-brainer. You have to get an Everton defenders in now, especially someone like Mikalenko. If anyone's got Mikalenko in, they're a genius. They're an absolute genius, right? you know.
Yeah, it's not a bad one. There's a cheaper option than Mikalenko, but I think he's suspended or injured. But Braithwaite is like a 4.1 if you really need to save money and get the equivalent clean sheets, but maybe not as many bonuses. Braithwaite is there, but I think he's suspended for the next one. And Everton, you've got to give them credit, man. 4 wins in 5. They had that points deduction. They're out of the relegation places already.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, another player that gets big credit is Doucouré, because he's been playing almost as a second striker and he's been chipping in with goals. So he's a budget midfield option to consider.
I've got to say that Everton have been so good without Calvert-Lewin scoring any goals, by the way. He should have scored, and he's just not. I don't know if this is old Calvert-Lewin or not, because he just should be scoring these goals, you would have thought. But on Doucouré, Lewin, he's the 8th highest scoring midfielder on the game. He's got 6 goals and 2 assists. That's more goals than Palmer, who we've spoken about so much. Saka, Douglas Luiz, who we've raved on about at home form, and he is only 5.5 million.
Yeah. Every week we talk about these guys, and the question is then, all right, geniuses, why don't you have them? Like, for me, why don't I have Cunha? Why don't I have Doucouré? I know about these players. It's just two things. Number one, being able to afford them. And number two, priorities lying elsewhere. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. We know, you know, we know who's doing what, who's doing well, right? But it's about getting them in. And that's the tricky part. But Everton are flying, and they're going to be flying for the foreseeable. Unlike Newcastle, you know, who got absolutely mullered with Newcastle. The injuries have caught up with them, in simple terms. They've not become a bad team overnight. But I think if you look at every single team in the Premier League, it's getting worse every season now with the injuries. And you just have to question, you know, how much football are these guys playing? And it's having a toll on their bodies. Talk to me about your feelings on Isak.
Oh, really, really, really. I like him as a non-fantasy football player. But if fantasy-wise, Wilson is my guy every time. And he came off the bench and got an assist. Wilson is the guy. Like, he is, when I think of point scorers who wants to score goals every week, who like has that hunger to, I'm thinking Haaland, I'm thinking Salah. But, you know, Wilson is in that bracket for me.
He is. If the problem with Wilson has always been injuries. Yeah. If that guy stayed fit, he'd score 20 goals every season comfortably.
Yeah, this is the problem. This is the problem. He comes off the bench, he gets an assist. And if he's back now, I think they've got a Champions League game midweek. And then after that, what have they got? Fulham, Luton and Forest. I can see him dropping Isak and putting Wilson in there. Or maybe he moves Isak to the right where Almiron isn't really delivering on the goals or assists. He can't drop Gordon. Or maybe he does what he does at the start of the season. He's posed a problem now, Eddie Howe, because he wasn't starting Wilson. Then he brought him in. Then he got injured. And he's had to do Isak for most of the season. But Wilson is their goal scorer. Isak doesn't get on the sheet enough for me. And I'm looking at a way of trying to get him out. But he's not a priority. Unfortunately, I've got a £5 million Crystal Palace defender who've got Man City next. And that's where my priority has to be, unfortunately, unless I do a -4. But in an ideal world, I bring in Callum Wilson for Isak.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you going to do that move? Because that will be interesting.
Yeah, in my ideal world, I have a Haaland, Wilson and Watkins front line. That would be tasty for me. But Watkins, again, is too nice. It's too nice. So I don't mind like a Cunha as a budget. Save those millions. And the guy gets goals, you know. Cunha is very good there. So I don't mind. But yeah, in my second striker after Haaland, in an ideal world, it's Wilson every day.
But
every day.
One thing we, I think, is fair to establish is we've spoken plenty about the players that you like, and one thing that gives me satisfaction is you don't like Son. So long may that continue. You never talk about bringing him in. So long may that continue.
You know what? It's played on my mind, especially after this week. You know why? I can justify a Kieran Trippier being a 1-in-2 guy because he's 7 million. But for me, justifying a 10 million, and also it means so much work around my midfield to try and do it. But he is basically a 1-in-2 guy as well. The thing is, he double digits, and it's okay. Someone I have to probably consider.
You don't need to consider him. You can't afford him. Focus elsewhere. I just want to say one thing, right? Mo Salah, who is universally acknowledged as the king, right, is the top point scorer, fantasy football, on 127 points. Second highest is Son on 113. And third highest is Haaland on 112. So for me, it's not about individual game weeks. It's about the totality.
Okay.
It's about the totality. But look, let's keep things interesting. You know, let's have a little bit of difference. And before you say anything, it's one all. You know, I got Huang in, you got Bowen in. You know, let's...
Oh, yeah. Who are you getting in this week, by the way?
Well...
Mikalenko?
No, I'm not. I'm not getting Mikalenko.
All right.
So there you go. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, how are you feeling in terms of real football? I'm talking about Liverpool. I'm talking about Arsenal. You know, there are teams. You know, how are you feeling?
Oh, you know what? I was annoyed, but kind of as a season as a whole, I can't be. But I'm a bit annoyed because... We should have got a penalty in that game against Aston Villa. We should have got... I don't know how the goal didn't stand, personally. I was watching it. I've not seen any of the justification for it. I've not seen any of the analysis. But I can't see how that's been ruled out. Cash looks like it's on his hand. It looks like it's on Havertz's arm. But you can't do anything when you're there. I can't see how that's been ruled out. I actually thought we played really well. We should have definitely got a penalty. And I thought we played really well against a superb Aston Villa team who I watched the week before trounce Man City. And we didn't let them do that to us, I didn't think. Whilst we've lost two games this season, I'm kind of minded. I'm thinking back to what we said last week, which is don't draw. If you lose, but just win more games. And we have been that team. We've either been winning or losing, and we've only lost two games this season, Arsenal, and we've lost them both 1-0 to both decisions where you could have been like, that should have been overturned, that goal. How did that, you know, there were some dodgy refereeing decisions. So I'm kind of hopeful. The big one for me is when we play Liverpool. That is the one where I think we could get comprehensively beaten, whereas we've been beaten twice this season, and I don't think it's been comprehensive. So it makes me think, oh, I wonder where we're at. I wonder where we're at. So I'm still fairly optimistic, actually.
That Liverpool game is a week on Saturday at 5:30. But Liverpool, I saw a tweet and it absolutely summed it up for me. You can't get more spot on than this. Liverpool are top of the league with one loss since April and the best goal difference. And I'm sat here feeling clueless as to how good they actually are. Because we've had to come back from behind so often. I mean, there's so many issues with our team, but yet we're still top. I've spoken to you before, you know, it's going to catch up with us eventually. It's unsustainable, you know, to come back every game. This week was a good example. The game that I hate the most is Palace away. I hate that game. I hate it more than Man City away or Arsenal. It's the game I hate the most because they always, they're up for it. They've had a terrible run of results, right? You know, Roy Hodgson after the game said, you know, in January, we need to strengthen central midfield because we don't have a midfield. And yet they dominated us. And you just say to yourself, what is it about these bloody teams? Every time they play us, they're up for it. But it's also a damning indictment of our starting midfielders that, you know. But having said that, you know, we got extremely lucky because, you know, Jordan Ayew was not a red card. It was very harsh. We have won games this season and, you know, retrieved points from the bench. You know, our players have come off the bench and, you know, we're in a situation where, like, we've got three players who are playing at arguably the top level in their positions worldwide, in Mo Salah, Alisson and Van Dijk, and the rest of them are hit and miss. And, you know, I'm not looking forward to the United game. People are thinking, oh, why is that? You're just being silly. It's because one thing that's happened in the last few years under Solskjaer and Ten Hag is every time they're in crisis, every time, you know, they're on the precipice, they pull a result out the back. They just do, right? They've done it. And that's what my fear is, right? Is that, you know, they just pull a result out the back. What's going to be interesting for me is our next two league games are Man United at home and then Arsenal away. But in between those games, we've got a Europa League game, which honestly, leave all the players at home, even the young ones. I'll play in that game. You know, I'll play, right? I'll volunteer myself. You know, you don't even need to do any insurance or anything like that. All the legal stuff, I will play, right? And then I completely forgot about this, but we're still in the bloody Carabao Cup. Who wants to play in the bloody Carabao Cup? We're playing in the Carabao Cup at home against West Ham. We need to bin that off completely. You know, who cares? Play the under eights for that game. You know, I want us to put absolutely everything into the league. And what I mean is three things. Firstly, put all our performances into the league. Number two, bin off these lesser cups. I'm talking about the Carabao Cup. I'm talking about, you know, about the Europa League. I am talking about, in January, we've got an FA Cup tie against Arsenal, for which John, my next-door neighbour, he's in his 70s. I want him to play in that game, right? I don't care about these trophies. We're at the top of the Premier League. We've got a real opportunity. In January, we need to strengthen in a couple of key areas, if possible, defensive midfield and a top defender, if they're available, and kick on. I am desperate for us to win the league.
Wow.
I hope that desperation came through.
Just a little bit. Let's end the show, Lumen, with a dear doctor. You are, of course, the doctor, not a doctor of medicine or psychology, psychotherapy or anything, a doctor of history. Nevertheless, we're going to throw a advice question your way. This comes from the West Midlands. Dear doctor, I'm dating a footballer and he's very, very good. Lots of people underestimate him, but he's having an excellent season. He's Scottish. He's a tartan heartthrob. We are very much in the honeymoon phase of our relationship. Everything is going well, apart from one issue. He has an awful goal celebration. He is 29 years old, yet whenever he scores a goal, he sort of contorts his hands to do a weird goggle-eyed thing, which I'm going to do for you now, Lumen. This is what he does. This thing over here. He does it even at home, putting the bins out, goggle eyes, doing the cooking, goggle eyes, finishing brushing his teeth, goggle eyes. He is John McGinn. Aston Villa's John McGinn. Should I dump him? I'm being celebration police over here, by the way. I hate that goal celebration, man.
You'd rather spend an evening at the darts, right?
I would rather spend an evening at the darts. That is an awful... He's 29 years old. I feel like there's an age bracket. Like, if you are early... Past 25, you can't get away with something like that. Past 25, it has to be a fairly... an Alan Shearer hand up. Something like, I'll take even a Cristiano, the showmanship of it all. That's pretty cool one. I like that. But a John McGinn goggle eyes thing, I'm not having. Dele Alli used to do that weird thing. Like, come on, guys. Am I being just a Grinch here? No.
I mean, you know, sometimes you see a celebration, you're like, what's he doing?
Which makes me think favorite goal celebrations, Lumen. Historically, favorite goal celebrations.
Oh, I mean, where to start? But I think there's one that just stands out to me just because I remember watching it. I remember the goal and it was just, the goal was sensational. And then the celebration after, I'm talking about Real Madrid, Barcelona at the Bernabeu, 2016 to 2017. Oh. You know, Real won the league, but, you know, Barcelona went to the Nou Camp. It was a tight game. It's 2-2. And then Sergi Roberto picks the ball up in his own half, does a run. And then, you know, it ends up with Jordi Alba, who cuts it back. Messi, you know, sensational. Oh, and then he just takes his shirt off and he just holds it up, and it was just like the simplicity of it. And there's this amazing photo out there which I'll share with you, and it's like it's almost like trick photography, where it shows the shirt being held up without him holding one side of it, but it's perfect the way it's been held up. It's an amazing photo.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that celebration, I mean, it was just like...
That is an iconic
one. What about yourself?
I've always liked angry celebrators. I don't know what it is, like banging a goal and just getting angry. Timuri Ketsbaya in the 90s for Newcastle just started hammering the advertising hoardings unnecessarily. He scored a goal and he starts kicking it. I don't know why. I just like it for some reason. But I always used to love a Gabriel Batistuta machine gun. Like, the guy was a machine gun as a player. He used to score all sorts of goals from all sorts of angles. And then he used to go off with his Jesus hair draping down and just machine gun into the audience. Now, as a 39-year-old man, if I saw someone like that, I'd be like, oh, what are you doing? But when I was a kid, that was unbelievable for me. That was a really good dream.
Do you think it's okay for a grown man to do the Budweiser advert? Do you think that's okay?
Do the Budweiser advert?
You know, do you think that's acceptable?
If he's pre-25, actually, I don't know how old he was probably then. He was I don't know. Yeah. You're talking about Thierry Henry.
Yeah,
he was Man United. Yeah. And he flicks it with one foot, spins and loops the ball over Fabian Barthez, runs to the bench. Voila! Yeah, that was, I was an Arsenal fan as a kid. That was just amazing.
It was about 24, 25.
24. The cutoff. He's just at the cutoff then. Fine. But John McGinn, no more goggle eyes for me.
Yeah, but just before we go,
Yeah, go on.
Let's Let's do a quick preview of next week, because
are you
hopeful about next week or not? And then what are the three things. Firstly, what's your team saying? What are the fixtures saying? And thirdly, what are your transfers saying?
I've not really looked at transfers so much. My team, actually, as it is all home. Everyone is at home, apart from my bench at the minute as it stands. I've got a orange mark over a foot injury for Erling Haaland. So that is, I'm not sure. They've got Crystal Palace at home. Does he risk him? We don't know. It's a bit of Pep roulette time now we're getting into. But otherwise, I'm looking pretty good. I'm a little bit dependent on Newcastle form because I've got three Newcastle players. But then, you know, and also which West Ham, are West Ham going to be well enough again? At the minute, I'm looking okay. Maybe tweaking the defence, possibly. Pinnock is at home, but to Villa, Brentford, and I don't see Brentford doing anything. And I need to get rid of Joachim Anderson, Crystal Palace, Man City. That's not looking nice. Otherwise, I'm not sure. I don't really know what my transfer is at the minute. What about yourself?
Well, you know, again, loads of home fixtures. Similar situation to Haaland. Very interested to see what Arsenal do off the back of a loss, because they're playing Brighton, who are you know, in dire straits because of the Europa League. The Europa League is the death of... it's a hill I'll die on, honestly. The Europa League, the Conference League, is an absolute killer. Villa might be flying high and everyone's getting carried away, but they will be bit in the backside because... They could probably win the Europa League with Unai Emery's pedigree, but their league form will suffer sooner or later. For me, it's very straightforward. I need to get rid of Quaveen Kelleher because he is, and I'm going to get Martin Dubravka in because Martin Dubravka, his price went up from 3.9 to 4.1 in a blink. Like, it was just crazy. So, even though, you know, there's other players I'd like to get rid of, like Mark Gahey. Priorities.
Yeah. There are some really interesting fixtures. So Forest at home to Spurs. Which Spurs are going to turn up? But they, you know, on the back of a very good result. Bournemouth at home to Luton. I can see Bournemouth carrying on their very good form, as well as Luton have been playing recently. Chelsea at Sheffield United, I do not think is a gimme, by the way. Man City at home to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace have been a bogey team for City in recent seasons, but not this week, not this season. Newcastle at home to Fulham. Now, Fulham are in fine form recently, and Newcastle are not, but Newcastle are at home, and it is just like Newcastle to turn it around, to find that energy again. But they've got a Champions League game in midweek, so let's see what happens there. Burnley, Everton, that's an interesting one, with Everton going so well, going away, Sean Dyche going back to Turf Moor. Arsenal at Brighton. Brighton did absolutely spank us this same fixture last season. It was at the tail end of the season where our season fell apart, but still, Brentford at Villa, that's a tricky one. Maybe that Europa League you're talking about could be a factor. West Ham at home to Wolves. Tricky. Liverpool, Man United. Goal fest, mate. Goal fest. Here we go.
Hopefully. Which is why what's going to be interesting to see is who you captain.
Yes. Let's see. I'm not making that same mistake again. I'm not. Am I? Oh, I don't know.
Well, one thing we didn't talk about is at the end of last week, you were on such a high. You were on such a high end of last week. And you actually said, you wouldn't fancy Huang as your captain. You asked me the question when I said I'm going to bring him in. And I said, no, I don't fancy him that much.
Yeah.
Because he's been getting points, but not double digits.
No, you're right. There's only one Korean for that. And you've got him. And I need to get him in. Right, on that, mate. Thank you very much. Good speaking to you.
Great stuff.